Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Service Hub session. We are going to talk about the Service Hub and some other things, how to manage it, and obviously how to use it in your enterprise environment. My name is David Stokel. I'm a specialist for Service Hub in the enterprise in the Netherlands. And obviously, I'm covering more than only the Netherlands, so I'm covering EMEA. And with me is Christian.
So I'm a partner technology strategist, also based in Europe and responsible for Europe. And I'm focusing more on the partner side and the readiness of the partners that are allowed to resell the devices.
Okay. So with here, we have today two hubs. You've seen one service hub here, which is already in the setup mode, so in the startup mode. And this service hub is already fully set up. During this session, you are witnessing a very nice moment because you are the first guys to see in public the anniversary update for the Service Hub. So, thank you. So, to be honest, there are a lot of small fixes in the anniversary update, but the UI is not that much changed, or the interface, or there are more smaller changes to it. So don't expect very different things if you have heard of the or seen the Service Hub before, but it's still nice that we could show it to you today. And it is still in beta, so it could be that we run into some of the little problems that are still there sometimes. If we run into them, please forgive us, but that's just to warn you. So with that, let's go to the next slide. So the Service Hub is part of our whole family of devices, and we will talk about that in this session a little bit. So we will talk about how to use it in the enterprise, how to integrate it with other devices, how to combine it with the usage of, for instance, your current phones and your current Surface tablets or Surface books, and we will see how that works together in the enterprise on the best way. So with that, let's get started, and the thing that we are going to talk about is how to set up the Service Hub from the beginning to the end, how to manage it with the tools that you are already using in the enterprise, and then how to integrate it with the other devices. So if you look at the agenda for today, we'll first give you an overview of how it fits in all those devices, then how to configure the Service Hub out of the box. And after that, we are going to manage the Service Hub with the managing tools. We're going to monitor it and deploy applications to it, and then run those applications. And obviously, there are some specific things. If you have any questions, please use the mic to ask them, and you're welcome to ask questions during the session. But otherwise, we'll give some time for questions at the end of the session. You already want to ask a question now? Okay. So anyways, that could be possible. So the Service Hub, if you never heard of it, we are not going to do a very big end-user demo. So if you wanted to have end-user demos, you could have gone to the booth at the floor downstairs. But in this session, we were more looking how to integrate it in the enterprise. But the Service Hub is a new thing, a new device. It's the first thing in the combination of its hardware, services, and software. So the hardware, obviously, being the Service Hub with the screen itself, with the touchscreen on a 84-inch device, it's a full 4K screen. And on a 55-inch device, that's the other one, it's a HD screen. And then, obviously, we have the cameras there, we have microphones on the top, we have pens to write on the device. And the whole idea of the Service Hub is to have an emergent experience for a meeting. So with one click, you can just join a meeting and all those kind of things, because Windows is running on there to enable you to have a real experience for that meeting, that the device is every time ready when you walk up, that you can just start with one click a meeting, or with just picking up the pen, start your whiteboard. And at the back end, we are running services to enable you to connect with the Service Hub to other people who are not physically here. So, for instance, to connect to Skype for Business or Exchange, to plan meetings with the Service Hub, and as well connect with Skype for Business and then see the other people, share your screen, and all those kind of things. We are not going to demo it, but it's just to introduce you to what the Service Hub can do in there. in respect to that infrastructure, the Service Hub really reuses everything that most people already have in their infrastructure. So if you have already Exchange, you can just leverage that. If you don't have Exchange at this moment, you could easily use, for instance, Office 365 with Exchange and Skype for Business on there, if you want. We also see customers who have hybrid environments in there. For the Service Hub to be able to be used in those environments, to integrate in the infrastructure, you will need to use a Skype and Exchange account in your enterprise for on those devices. About that account creation, we are not going to do that in this session. We are more talking how to manage it. And we assume that those accounts are already created. And in the next session, Frank and Zahid will go in a little bit deeper how to create those accounts, and as well how to troubleshoot it when something goes wrong when you create those accounts. When you have created those accounts, you can do an out-of-box experience in a few minutes, and that's what Christian will show you later on, how you really can set up the device quite easily. The device supports two-factor authentication for the users, but it does not support a two-factor authentication for the setup of the account of the accounts that you are using as a resource account on the device. So the Service Hub is a device that is really an appliance, and with that, it's fully locked down. And in order to manage it, you can manage and configure it by using Config Manager or Intune or another tool that can do mobile device management. And we will go into that and show you also how you can manage it, for instance, with AirWatch as well. So with that, Christian, please configure the Service Hub for us.
So first of all, I like to highlight this slide to just show, okay, so the out-of-the-box experience is really the first experience that you will get when your device arrives. So you see it already over here, and here on the slide we have some, yeah, so just to highlight what is really possible. So it will launch on the very first start when you turn the Surface Hub on. So you can, most of the things you can also change after the full UBI, but the UBI gives a really a good point to start with. You would start with to do all the localization stuff, to select your language, to set up the device name, the friendly name. And also you can configure already Skype for Business in that moment. What is very important here is to really remember that only during this setup it is possible to join a domain. That's not possible afterwards, so you really have to decide it during the UBI process. Yeah, and with that there are currently three options. You are able to join an Azure Active Directory, you can join your local AD, or you can just go with kind of work group, so without any need to join the Active Directory. So joining the Active Directory has some special purposes for the Surface Hub. As David already mentioned, it's a really locked down device already. So if you join the device to the domain, it will not apply any group policies. Yeah? This device is not managed by group policies. That's really important to remember. And if you join it to the domain, it will automatically apply all your root certificates that you have in your environment. So with that, then you have no need to install them additionally with a package. That's also possible. I will show you a little bit later how that works. But if you join it to the domain, you don't have to do that. Another good advantage is here. So this device is fully BitLocker encrypted. So if you join the device to the domain, it will also store the BitLocker encryption key to the domain. Yeah, or if you join it to Azure Active Directory, it will also join that to the store that to the Azure Active Directory. So, and of course for all the admin stuff, so you can decide during the UBI process who will be the admin on that device that is able to install applications, doing all the setting stuff. So, of course, if you don't join it to the domain, you will just go with the local admin, and then you have to manage that on every single device on its own. If you join it to Active Directory, it will ask you for an AD group where you can put in all your admins that should be admin on the Surface Hub. It will also automatically assign the domain admins to the device as a local admin. With Azure AD, it's a little bit different. So if you use basic Azure AD, so what you normally get with Office 365, then only the tenant admin will be admin on this machine. If you use Azure AD Premium, you can also specify special groups in your Azure AD Premium. Yeah. So with that said, so there's one another important point, what you can configure after the UBI process, what we implemented, and we believe that most of the security guys will really love that, because normally you have to put in very complex passwords and your admins will not really like that the password should not expire. So with that device, we enable that we can put on a password rotation. So that really means then the password will change every week. Yeah, so the device will automatically change every week the password. So with that, there's a small table in here. So what are the requirements to get that up and running? So it just depends on where the account is located and which account format you have to use on the device to get that to work. So this is number. That was the one. So with this, let's get started to with the configuration on the Surface Hub. So as I already mentioned, you can set up your location, your keyboard layout, and also your time zone. So let me just go to the correct time zone. That was the wrong. So we are in UTC 5, I guess, right? And really here on the third screen, the device will directly ask you for the Skype for business credentials and the Exchange account. Yeah? So you will learn in the session of Frank and Zahid how to configure exactly this account so that you really can have this smooth experience here. So let me just type in here the...
Yeah, with the Service Hub, obviously you get a wireless keyboard as well in order to enable also people on a table to use the Service Hub, but as well to enable people with disabilities to be easy to use the Service Hub as well. And obviously to type passwords, it's much better to use a wireless or a keyboard, which is not the on-screen keyboard.
Yeah. So with that, now the Service Hub will also discover if the account is enabled, etc. So if there is any issue with setting up the device account on your really first devices, there's also a nice button where you can just skip this step, and then you can do that after the UBI process, because in that case you will get already log files, and it's much easier than to troubleshoot. But if you get, let's say, your second Surface Hub and you already know how to configure that device, then it's a really easy way to apply that here. So these two points are also very important. So the friendly name, so the device will automatically take that from the Active Directory, or in our case from Office 365, so what is really the username. So that's just as an, so it will just put that automatically in, but it will cap that to 32 characters. And also the device name, so he took over already the device name from the device account. But you're also able to change that, and we can change that maybe in this case, just we can add hub, and but we can stay with the name. So the friendly name is also used if you like to project via Miracast. So this is the name that will show up if you search for the on your laptop or on your mobile device to do Miracast. The device name will be, of course, also the name that will show up in the Active Directory as the computer name when we join it to the domain. So after that, we will get the three options that I already mentioned on the other slide, to join it to the Azure Active Directory, to the local, or to go with the local admin. So in our case, because I don't have a domain controller in my pocket, we will go with the local admin in that case.
And important, this setup, again, is only at this time that you can do it. If you want to change a device which is already domain joined, or which is set up with a local account, then the only way to change it is do a full reset of the device. And a full reset of the device was something that in the previous version of the Service Hub, which is currently the production version, took a long time. We fixed that in this update. So that's one of the things that we fixed. thank you. And it takes now a normal amount of time, depending a little bit, but between a half an hour and an hour.
Yeah. So, and you can change the password afterwards, but you can change the username afterwards. Yeah, same applies currently for the admin groups. So with that, the whole Surface Hub is already set up, because we were good prepared, so all the Skype stuff and Exchange stuff was already pre-configured.
We did all the troubleshooting already,
because we attended already Frank's session.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So and then in a couple of seconds, the device will come back. So that's really the all you have to do if your environment is already good prepared on the Surface Hub to get it up and running for the really basic stuff. So then the next configuration steps. So there are much more options if you go after this UBI to the local settings. So the local settings are really similar to what you have in Windows 10 on your regular laptop, but they are specially modified for the Surface Hub. So we added additional points, but we also removed some of the points. That just makes no sense on the Surface Hub. So what you can see here also on the screenshot is that we have, of course, the settings for the Skype for Business for Exchange account. We have the projection mirror casting settings, and also to join it to OMS to get the device monitored. What is really new now in that version, and maybe you will like that, so we added an additional point we will allow in the future now to also attach additional third-party devices, other cameras, other speakers, etc. And we included in the menu now here, you can see that here on the screenshot, that you can select, okay, which device will be used for which scenario. And we will go very soon live also with a list that will mention all the devices that we already tested.
And one thing to add on those local settings is that those local settings are now arranged more in line with what you see on the desktop. It was kind of all place around on the previous version of the Surface Hub. We have realigned all the settings that are more in line with what they are on the normal PC. But still, it is a little bit different, as Christian said, because of their settings missing or settings extra for the Surface Hub.
Yeah. But finally, the store opening is under apps. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the next option could also be to manage the device via provisioning packets. So what does this mean? So we have the Windows Imaging Configuration Designer, and that now gets really, for the advisory update, some really great improvements in special for Surface Hub. So there will be now a whole new category just for Windows 10 Team, yeah, where you can configure all the special settings, or a lot of the special settings for the Surface Hubs. So we support this provisioning package during UBI to import certificates and to install apps. But after UBI, you can also set up the Skype for Business Exchange account now in the future. You can join it directly to OMS. You can set up a Windows Update Server. And there are many more settings, like all the Miracast stuff, et cetera. But I will show you that in a second. So this is currently the new category. So that's already a package that I created for the devices. So, and what here is now really possible is that you can set up, that you can put in here the Skype for Business account that you like to use. So with that, it would be possible for you to pre-create a lot of packages, and maybe you can give the package to your remote guy that is not sitting with you in the same location, maybe he has no clue about the Surface Hub, but you can pre-configure that whole package for him, hand it over for him, and make it really easy for him also to configure the device. Yeah. So, and what you can see already, what I have here in the settings, it is,
so, yeah. So it will replace basically what Christian just did during the UBI setup when he entered his credentials and the email address. That will be replaced by the settings that are already in the package.
Correct. So in my example package, we will enable Miracast, but we will require that the people have to enter a PIN. And we also will change now in that package the account. You saw that I used a username that was CSUBI, but we will change that now to the ICD demo account to really see that it will apply. Also, the plan is to change the friendly name with this package and to join the device directly to the OMS monitoring solution. And there you have to type in the workspace ID and the workspace key, and we will also give the device another background picture, and what we can also set up for the welcome screen. So currently you see on that device, it will only show up who has planned the meeting, but we can also change that to show up also the subject of the meeting. So, and you can find this whole settings if you open the ICD. it's located now here as common team edition settings. So that's new in the new ICD for the advisory update. So this is already out. You can already download this, but the package will only work with the new version, because the ICD version has always to match with the OS version on the device. So now we can just export that package to the USB stick. And we can also encrypt that package so that people will not be able to just find somewhere, of course, your USB stick and put it in another device. So we can also give that here a password.
Or that they could find out the password and username of the Skype account which is used on the Service Hub.
Exactly.
Because obviously that's not something you would to give to every user in your organization.
So let's.
And with password rotation, obviously that password would change over time once it is set up. But before it's set up, it's the password that you have configured in your initial creation of the account.
So with that, the package is ready to use. And now let's go over to the device. So that was...
No.
Mm-hmm. Again. So, and as I mentioned, you can go to the settings to use the local settings very easily. So from the menu, and that's on, and all the stuff that you will see now is only possible for the to do for the administrator, really. So, by the way, if you so some people are asking if I type in a password on the Surface Hub, then everyone will see what I'm typing. So there is actually this nice button where you can just hide what you really type in the for the password section. So with that, so this is just the local settings that we showed on my slides already. And there now, as David mentioned, it's now more structured in a more logical way. So a lot of stuff is moved a little bit. And we have now here the button device management, where we have the point to add this provisioning package. So that's possible from the USB, and as you can already see, I have here some more just example packages to show up how that maybe could look in your environment. If you set up multiple devices, you maybe just add multiple or will create multiple packages and then walking around really quickly to set the devices up in a very, very fast way. And that should really enable you to make faster mass deployments of the Surface Hub. So with this, the device will of course ask again for the username and the password. And then it will ask for the password of the package itself, because we encrypted the package. Oops. And it will also show you what really the device will import now. Then it will take some seconds, but we should see very quickly that it will change here the friendly name, and afterwards all the settings in the background. So not yet, but give it some seconds. It should work.
It did work this morning.
It did work this morning, yeah.
Otherwise, do we import it on the other machine?
Now it is.
There it is.
So it takes really some seconds, but you really see, okay, it's now changed here. And if I jump back here, it's also changed the Skype for Business account now. Yeah. Now the device is, as you saw in my package, I joined it also to the OMS to really be able to monitor, because I believe this key is nothing that you like to type in manually. So that's not fun. Yeah. So it's much better to use a package for this stuff.
Because we get a lot of questions how to monitor the device, and we'll get into monitoring, but there's no other way to remotely see the log files of the device at this moment. So we go into NDM a little bit later, but this is one of the ways to see how the device is behaving and how it does. It will report that to OMS automatically.
Yep. Cool. So.
So let's switch this back.
And it also switched to the other background picture now. And now it shows also up what is really the subject of the meeting.
So
that,
your machine.
That was all. Okay.
Now it showed up.
So we see now also the background picture and the subject of the meeting is also now back.
Yep, so Christine showed how to manage the device with a provisioning package. This is something which needs to be done, obviously, offline to the device with the USB key. Another way to manage the device is with mobile device management. And with mobile device management, you can actually really manage the device remotely and do all the settings that Christine just showed, but then from the mobile device management. In order to do that, the device needs to discover the management point for the configuration. And in order to do that, the service hub will look up in your environment where the device can be managed. And that's just a DNS lookup. So the service hub will look up for an account that you have created, and it can be a different account from the account that you use for your Skype for Business, but it can also be the same. The management of the service hub is one account, and the Skype for Business and the Exchange is another account. But you can use the same account if you want it to for simplicity, but it's not mandatory. There can be two different things. It will look up based on that account that you have created, based on that email address. It will then look up on the domain if there is a CNAME for the enterprise enrollment in your domain. And if there is an enterprise enrollment, that enterprise enrollment should point to, in the case of Intune, for instance, to manage.microsoft.com, and that will make that the device can discover it and join it in Intune, and then the device can manage. Obviously, this view is very simplified how the process goes, because during the process, there's also the authentication and the passwords and all those kind of things. But we left that for simplicity reasons. We left that part out, and we kept it very simple. So this is the process that you keep in mind. And this is also something you have to have in your infrastructure. So the DNS lookup should be there for your infrastructure in order to discover where the management point is for the service hub. You can not push or type in just a simple username, just a URL for a management point. So in the settings, if we go here, Christian, can you please type in the username and password? Thank you. So in the device, you go to device management. And here you can add the device management to the device by just typing in that email address, and then it will do this discovery. So once you have done the discovery, you'll be able to manage a lot of settings on the device. And there are different ways to do it. In the UI of the device, or in the UI of the mobile device management thing, in Intune, for instance, which I'll show you in a few seconds, there are pre-configured settings that you can just configure by clicking on radio buttons. But there are a few more settings that you can do by using SyncML settings or by using custom policies. Those custom policies are CSPs. And one of the CSPs is the Service Hub CSP, but there's also the Windows CSP. And you'll be able, in those settings, then to configure things like disable the Bluetooth or disable the camera, which is not a very practical thing to do on a service hub because you won't be able to do a Skype for Business real session anymore, but or without video at least. So you'll be able to manage all those settings and Those settings which you see here in this table are still subject to be changed because those are the settings that we will publish once it is on TechNet on the new version, on the anniversary update. Then it's finalized and then it's locked down on which are really there. But this is the list of what we are planning for at this moment. So if you see difference there, please ignore that. So one of the things that you could do with that mobile device management is at the bottom collect the logs of the service hub. So you could do event log collection from the service hub with mobile device management by using custom SyncML on the device and retrieve that to your mobile device management instance. And obviously, as you see, there are different mobile device management tools can do different things. So you see as well that SCCM, which we talk about here, supported in SCCM, that management, that is done by using the latest current branch for business for SCCM, for System Manager, Configuration Manager. So it's not something that you install a SCCM client on the Service Hub, but you are just talking with mobile device management to your SCCM version of it. Yeah. Obviously, you need to set up then as well your SCCM deployment points and configuration points, management points, as a mobile management system as well. So, with that, move to the to show you how it looks in the settings of a mobile device management environment. So, if we go to the Intune environment, here we have an Intune environment, and in that Intune environment, we obviously here have the different devices. And if I had a few devices, you will see those devices show up here. And obviously, I have to re-authenticate. So let me. Okay, that's better. So now you see that in the Intune environment, in this Intune environment, we don't have those hubs hanging. But in this environment, you can manage the settings for the devices. All devices look healthy because there are no normal devices. There are three mobile devices, and you see that those three mobile devices are Windows Team OS. So those are the devices that we joined in here for the demo. But in the policies, if you go under configuration policies, you'll be able to set those team settings. So for instance, one of the settings that we have set is the background. And the background setting is just something that you can just set in the UI. So here you see the settings that we can do for the Team OS. And you'll see that here for the lock screen, at the bottom, we have enabled that it points to a certain URL where there's that nice background screen that Christian put with the deployment package on the hub, on this hub. But you could do the same here in the UI. The same goes for the mirror cast settings or set the maintenance window by just flicking the setting here in the UI. So as I said about those CSPs, there are more settings that you can do. For instance, one of the settings is that you can set the home page of the device. So the home page for the Internet Explorer or the Edge browser, which is on the Service Hub. So if you go in there, you'll see that we have created a package with a custom setting. And those custom setting is a OmaUri setting. And if we go into there, we see that this is basically built up of a string. And that string is a vendor for the policy, for Microsoft, and then policy, which is the kind of setting. So the CSP is the policy CSP. There are different CSPs. There is also a configuration policy for instance, for the network, or there's configuration policy for, give another example, I don't know.
Certificates.
Sorry?
Certificates.
Certificates, yeah. So here you see that it is a policy for the policy manager, and then I set a configuration for the browser, the home page, and then here in the value I can put points to the real value that I wanted to set in, and this time we put it to a home drive of OneDrive. So this enables us to really set those settings in an easy way, and as you see, I can obviously set in one setting more than in one configuration policy. I can set more settings in one, but for overview, I set it here in different settings. So this is how you configure it, and then obviously you just manage your deployment, deploy the policy to the service hubs, and by that the device gets the settings as soon as the device gets enrolled. So, one setting that I didn't show you is the WSUS server. So the service hub really manages itself quite easily, and it updates itself through Windows Update by default. But one of the things that you could do is edit the device, and you can do that in the UI as well, to not go to the Microsoft Update service in the cloud, but go to the update service on-premise. You are not able to fully disable the updates, but we'll go into that a little bit deeper in a bit. But if you configure it here, it will then look up the updates in your Windows Update server, which can be on-premise. So that is one way to manage it. Another way to manage it is using third-party management tools. Because the Service Hub can talk, obviously, to Windows Intune, but it can also talk to, for instance, Mobile Iron. And here you see a screenshot of a Mobile Iron environment. AirWatch. This is an AirWatch, and Mobile Iron works as well, but this is an AirWatch environment in which you see that the Service Hub is managed and joined, and there are settings pushed to it. The device is up to date. The device is the virus scanner runs. Here you see that we have managed the device and we have pushed policies to it. And the policy that we push to the device is, for instance, to reboot the device. We had set some restrictions and we created the Service Hub account on the device. So what you saw Christian doing with the ICD package to configure every device with a certain setting of an account, that can be done by mobile device management here as well. And you see here that you need to create custom URI SyncML content to do that. So you have a SyncML template on the internet. If you search for CSPs, then you will find them. So in those CSPs, there are samples how to create that. And here you see an example how you create a setting for the same account that Christian just created in the deployment package. And that makes it very easy to therefore deploy several hubs in big numbers in your organization, because you just have to go through UBI, you join the machine to device mobile device management, or you Azure AD join the device and then automatically join the device to mobile device management, and then from that time on you can really do the settings. So the management options to manage a service hub in the wild are using a deployment package on a USB file. That's the black line, just use USB file at the bottom. Using MDM, and it can be Intune, so you're just joining the device to the cloud service. Another option is to use MDM on-premise with SCCM. And obviously, we support the hybrid environment as well, in which you, which are the red lines, in which you manage the service hub through SCCM, which SCCM talks to Intune, and Intune talks to the device itself. So there, those are the different options in order to do that. For all options, you still need that auto discovery, okay? But only not for the USB stick, because that will be Christian. Yeah. So let's go into monitoring.
So I joined already that device to my Microsoft Operations Manager suite. So, but there will be also some slight updates in the next weeks. So we will in the next version, we will also support to have to see which service hubs are really active. So we already have there the template for wireless and wired projection, but we will now also add application usage, so how do people really use your device, to show up which applications do they start, and if these applications are doing also good or if they crash all the time, yeah, so that you can really monitor it a little bit better. We will also add sample queries so that you can really also see, okay, as example, was Skype already started up and logged in and such things, and you can really put in your own queries for this, and you can also create alerts for that. So that really lets you know, okay, this device is not reporting back, and maybe I should someone send out to take a look on the device if someone has removed the Ethernet cable connection or something like that. Yeah. So this will also come in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and important it is that that you can really, for your executives, for instance, who have those service hubs in their rooms, you can be proactive and say, okay, this service hub is not responding very well, or I see a lot of problems with them, and then before the exec comes to you and say, okay, I've not a good experience, you already know about it.
So, and I got several times the question where I can look up if the audio quality was good on a Surface Hub. Yeah, so that was the reason why I put it in here now, the view of the Skype reports that you have in Office 365. And the Surface Hubs will, of course, show up as a regular Skype for Business client here, and you're really able to look in here as well to see, okay, maybe the internet connection was really bad, or what was really going on in that call. Because my experience, and I did Skype for Business before, was really that some people complain, okay, the audio quality was really bad, yeah, but normally it's not the fault of the Surface Hub or the good endpoints. Maybe there was a guy in that same conference from the cell phone, but he was the guy that was speaking all the time, so that's maybe the reason why everyone is saying the quality was pretty bad. And this report will also help you to dig a little bit more into that and to see what really happens here. And also, that's not only possible in Office 365, also if you have an on-premise environment, you can also install the monitoring and reporting stuff on-premise.
So, yeah, let's go into applications. So if you look at applications, one of the things that you can deploy to the Service Hub are settings for applications and get your applications on the device. But the Service Hub is only running universal Windows 10 applications. So those Windows 10 universal applications come from the store, and they need to be store signed. So in order to do that, you basically open the store on the Service Hub. So if you just open the store on the Service Hub, you will be able to see it. And as Christian said, nowadays it's already only in normal location with applications, so it's not on the start page anymore. And you can open the store, and in that store, you can see all your applications which you want to download. So in the welcome page, you see all applications, but here as well, you see that you can click on the login, and on the login, you'll be able to log in with your, in your sign-in, you'll be able to log in with your enterprise credentials in order to go to your corporate store as well. So in the corporate store, you'll be able to use all the applications which are published to you by other vendors or get normal applications as well. So this is the only way to get Service Hub or applications on the Service Hub without mobile device management or without deployment packages. So here you see that you can log in, and you can log in with a Microsoft public account. So let me connect to that one. Got the wrong one as well. Here you see that I can do a Microsoft consumer account to get my apps. And that consumer account, you can use any consumer account. And after that, you have installed the applications and you say, I'm done. The account is removed again, but the applications stay on the device. Yeah? Because normally, when you say, I'm done on Service Hub, everything that you have done on Service Hub will be removed. The applications will stay on the device. So you can also do work account, and then you can log in with your Office 365 or Azure AD account. And so to look a little bit deeper how that looks like and what it does if you log into those settings is that you get into the business store. And the business store, it enables somebody, an ISV, to push applications, to make applications for you specifically, and push those to your application store. So what they could do as a developer is what you see in step one, a developer builds an application, he puts it in the dev center, and then from the dev center he can deploy it directly to your business store, and then you only be able to download it on your hub. Another thing is that you can go, which is the upper layer of the slide, you could go, the developer could deploy it to the public store, and then from the public store, once it is in the public store, you can download it in your corporate business store. And then from the corporate business store, by logging in, you'll be able to have your application set on there. So those are the applications manners to get your applications on the device.
Just to add that, so yep. for the business store, it's really important that you're also able to purchase the licenses to the business store. So that means you don't have the normal Microsoft account and everyone has to put in the credit card for each of the Surface hubs. Yeah, you can really there also buy, let's say, 20, 30 license, whatever you like, and really put that to your business store as well.
Yes. So, and if you look at the Service Hub really enables you to run all those universal applications on the device and be able to run and deploy those on the Service Hub, and you can push them by mobile device management, because what you can do in that business store is download the application from the business store and put it in your mobile device management, then deploy it to the Service Hub. And once they are on the Service Hub, I'll show you, you just see them appearing here as applications in the all apps. So if you switch to this Service Hub, thank you. You see here that we have all the applications pushed to the device or downloaded to the device by the normal store. And I can just run those applications locally. So here you see, for instance, GG2Go or the Maps app. And actually in the anniversary update, we enabled a few applications by default. So the Power BI application and the OneDrive application will be there by default in order for you to do easy things. For instance, a feature that which was asked quite a lot is, I say I have a whiteboard, and then on the whiteboard I've written, and then I want to save it, and now I can not only share it as email, which will just email the whiteboard which I've written, but it can also save it to OneDrive. And obviously, in order to do that, it will ask you to sign in into OneDrive. And obviously, again, I can sign in here with my private credentials or with my enterprise credentials. And if I log in with my enterprise credentials, it asks me, do I want to add those credentials to the device? And if I say yes, those credentials will be there for the whole device, which means until I'm done at the end of the session, it will be there for, if I open PowerPoint, I will be automatically signed in as well. I will see my recent documents because I don't have to sign in every application again. So that's another thing that we heard quite a lot. So therefore, we wanted to discuss that. So that's how you get the universal applications on there. And a universal application needs to be deployed in the store. But another way to run applications is to really run those applications from your laptop. So Christian has, up here we have a service book, and we have a Win32 application, which is a quite important application for us, which is, for instance, Photoshop. So here you have Photoshop, and in this Photoshop, obviously, it's something which cannot be run directly on the Service Hub itself. But by connecting the Service Hub with this cable that you see here, I connected it with USB and HDMI, and I'll be able to use the real graphics application, which even uses the GPU, which is in my Service Book. I'll be able to edit, for instance, this picture. And here you see a nice picture of a Microsoft building. I just grab randomly a Microsoft picture, and I'll be able to edit it and, for instance, do things. Perspective warp is a function to really do perspective in an application, and I'll be able to use that on the Service Hub but it uses the GPU in order to render this. So if I warp it, now I can change the perspective, for instance, and say, okay, I'm right in front of the sign instead of the, so I can really change the perspective on the whole building like this. And it re-renders it, but it does that just on my service book, which is there on the table, but I can still do it within a session in Skype for Business if I want to, or I can share it to other people, and they can collaborate on there as well. So if you did the design, or you do have a heavy 3D application, or if you have whatever other Win32 application, which cannot natively be installed on the Service Hub, this is an easy way to do it. Another big advantage of doing this is that you just saw that I had to log in into my OneDrive and those kind of things. Here, I'm just using my PC. So here, if I'm using Skype for Business or PowerPoint or those kind of things, I just can use the PowerPoint and all my things automatically logged in my identity without doing anything by just connecting a cable. Another thing, obviously, is to use other applications on a mobile device, like on your phone. So what I can do, for instance, on this phone, is wirelessly search for the Service Hub, because Miracast is built in. And here you see the Service Hub name. I connect to the same name. And without doing anything, it will show up here as well. And it will get the screen quality better in a few seconds. There it is. And I'll be able to wirelessly, and I can do that obviously on my phone, but I can do that on my PC as well. I'll be able to just use my device wirelessly and connect it and use it through the Service Hub instead of looking at my screen, a little tiny screen, but I'll be using it just remotely. So it's very easy to use and very convenient to use with that connection. So, at the end of the session, if I do I'm done, any changes that I've done on the Service Hub are deleted and removed. But my picture that I added it and my things that I showed on my phone are still there. So that's another big advantage of doing that remotely like this. So the question is it working with Apple and Android phones as well? So the wired connection, what you saw with my service book, is obviously working with every device which can just be connected with a display port or with a HDMI port or VGA. And in order to manage it from the Service Hub, to do the ink back and touch back, which I did to the service book, you connect the USB cable, which is the second cable, which works as well on a Mac device or on a Linux device, because it's just mimicking keyboard and mouse input. So therefore, that works even on a Mac. The wireless protection works on Android devices because it's Miracast, which is an open standard, which Android implemented as well in their devices. But you won't be able to do touchback on the Android devices because they have not implemented that yet. And on Apple devices, you'll only be able to use it by using a lightning cable to HDMI. In order to show your screen, because they have Apple TV, so another option is to use an Apple TV at the back of the Service Hub and connect that in an input of the HDMI. But there is no AirPlay built in the Service Hub at this moment.
Yeah, and so and what David just showed with the cable, so that's also possible via Miracast. Yeah, so if you just search from the device. So we don't do that here because here's a lot of wireless stuff going on. So it was more secure to use the cable, but in your environments that will run very well as well. And then you will also get touchback. Yeah. So what else? So there are some other pieces that I like to show you here. So one of the things was what I already mentioned in the slides before. It's just a quick summary of the BitLocker encryption, so that you will really be able to look up the BitLocker keys afterwards. If you don't join the device to the domain, the Surface Hub will always give you a reminder, hey, you should really save your BitLocker key now. Yeah. So then you have to go to the settings, and then you have this this button where you can save the BitLocker key directly to your USB stick.
As you see here, it pops up because we have just installed this device without joining it to the domain. Then it pops up every time, save your BitLocker recovery key. Please do it, because we saw some customers then afterwards coming, oh, I did something wrong or those kind of things, and then it's very cumbersome to get your device up and running again.
So, and this is just an example how the BitLocker key could look like if you join it to Azure Active Directory, just to give an example on how this looks like. So, about the Windows updates and the store. So, the Windows updates, as David already mentioned, could be handled directly by our Windows update servers. And but you are also able to click the DEFIR updates button to go to the current branch for business, but we have a slide on that a little bit later. But very important, if you set up a device like we just do. So normally the device will now do in the maintenance hour, it will look for the new updates, it will also look for the new updates for the store, etc. So, but you should really, if you run into any issues, maybe with the Skype for Business connection, etc., please go to the updates and really look for the newest updates. Yeah, because otherwise maybe you troubleshoot things that we already fixed in the backend. Because the devices need some time to arrive at the customers after we produce them, so there will be, in most of the cases, there will be already a newer version that you can apply to the devices. So from the standard settings, the device will normally at 3 o'clock in the morning, it will do the maintenance and the updates, and the current set or the normal setting is that it has 1 hour time for that. I put it in here also how the Surface Hubs will look, how you will see them in the Windows Update servers if you connect them to your local Windows Update services. To give an idea where to look at this. So the updates will show up, by the way, as regular Windows 10. There is no new category for Windows 10 Team, because I had already customers that asked, okay, where can I find it? It's the regular Windows, it's in the regular Windows 10.
That means as well, in those updates, there will be firmware updates for the device. So the firmware updates come just in the normal updates with the device. So you don't have to think about firmware updates or those kind of things. Those are done automatically by us through those normal update packages. Yeah.
So this slide is just a quick summary. So just to mention that the device is able to jump to the current branch for business, and you can also manage to put it in additional rings and to really delay the updates.
Yeah, yeah, and changing the rings is something that we added it in the anniversary update, so you can really set the specific time when an update is going to be installed by using custom URIs, and then you can really say, okay, I want to defer the update for like say 14 days, like you see here.
Yeah, so good scenario could be maybe to put the IT own Surface Hubs maybe to the current branch to really always get the new stuff and the regular ones to the current branch, and maybe the CXO Surface Hub to a little bit later, yeah, to just to make sure that everything will run very well. So, Proxy Internet. So what we see a lot is that people have the need that all the guys have to authenticate on the device to go to the internet. So with the Surface Hub, that's okay. The Surface Hub is able to do that, but it will interrupt a little bit the experience for the user. So just to have that in mind, maybe, and then to use maybe an other nice start page if you open the Edge browser, maybe to point that to your local intranet as example, the same way as you maybe have it on the laptop. Because the Surface Hub will, of course, ask the user for the credentials to see if he is allowed to go to the internet. Yeah. Proxy authentication should be avoided in that case, and it's really important. So, as we recommend in all Office 365 scenarios, we don't recommend really to use the proxy, yeah, because it just makes no sense to cache all the voice and audio through the proxy. But if you go through the proxy for that traffic, then please make sure that the device has, or maybe to whitelist the Office 365 URLs so that the device is able to connect.
And the same goes for the Windows update, because otherwise the Windows update will only update the device once a user is logged in into a browser, and then it will have connection to the internet, it will download the update, but it will not download the update during the maintenance hours because it has no access on the device itself, because the device itself on the system layer does not support an authenticated proxy.
Yeah, and then of course a wired connection is much preferred over a wireless one, right? So because if you do audio, video, and also screen sharing, in special on the 84-inch device that really will get powered with 4K, then it's much better to have that on a really good wired connection. One important point that I like to mention here: we see that more. Maybe that's not the case on your regular network in your company, but the out-of-the-box experience is not able to open a web page to authenticate. So normally, what we all had just in the hotels, so that's not possible from the out-of-the-box experience. But of course, afterwards in the regular screens, that's possible, but not during the out-of-the-box. So we switched a little bit, as you mentioned, where the menus are sitting. So these are just three important points that I like to show here. So under the settings, you have the points with the resetting devices. If you decide afterwards, as example, to join to another domain or maybe to join it to Azure AD, so you have to reset the device. You can also save here the BitLocker key, and there is a nice button that enables you to collect all the log files, and it will export this to the USB stick, and you will get all the logs like the event viewer. You will also see the Skype for Business logs, and really to go a little bit deeper into that to troubleshoot your device.
So if we look at the session, our idea was to give you enough knowledge how to set the device up, how to configure it to your backend, and how to manage it in your organization, and as well to give you some starting points how to deploy bigger numbers in your organization, how to manage those, because you don't want to walk by every device and be the sneaker service. So we want to give you some tips how to do that. If you want to read more about that in depth, you can obviously refer to the admin guide online and the support pages. And if you want to learn overall of the Service Hub, there's a virtual academy available in which you can really see how it works and learn about all the things that are there to learn about the Service Hub.
And actually, we have a Service Hub lab also here on Ignite. You can go to the labs and you can configure a virtual Service Hub together with Office 365.
So with that, I want to open up for questions. And after the questions, there is a raffle of the Surface Pro 4. So if you have all got a ticket, you can get that as well. But let's first get into the questions. Any questions? Come to the mics, please. Then we can hear you better.
Do you have any plans to integrate MBAM for BitLocker with the hub?
So at this moment, we don't support MBAM, as MBAM is a Win32 installation package that you have to install on a device. So at this moment, we don't install MBAM. You cannot install MBAM, but obviously the key can be stored in Active Directory, and then you can see in MBAM the recovery key by using the lookup tool. But at this moment, that's not possible, unfortunately. But we'll take your feedback on that as well.
Yeah, so a question on the application settings. So I absolutely get how when you're done, it's going to wipe all of the settings. But for applications that we want to try running on our devices, in a lot of cases, they have setup screens, you know, accept this, look at the splash screen, those sorts of things. Are there any plans to create a subset of storage that can stay on the device, or to talk to developers to say, hey, in this particular environment, you want to try and not do those sorts of things, or make signing in easier?
Yeah, so all those things, yes. so first of all, on the signing in easier. So we have, for instance, Stormboard, which is a good example of an application that makes sign in the application specifically easy on the Service Hub, because you can use the NFC tag to just log in into the application with your username and password instead of typing them in, which is one example of the things that you can do. So that's on the authentication part. And obviously, we encourage developers to change their application in such a way that it can be used as a communal application, which is resetted every time again when they say, I'm done. So that's something we are working on with application developers, and we have a set of applications which are specifically designed for the Service Hub, and those do have those not splash screens, and they remember the settings not on the device itself, but they mostly remember the settings or their license key or those kind of things online in Azure or in the back end of the developer's application. So that is partially a story. The other part is that if you have an application which requires you to log in traditionally or which does have that splash screen, then the easiest way is to run it just on your phone or run it on your PC, and as you saw, just then remotely use it on the Service Hub, because the experience of using it is exactly the same as using it directly on the Service Hub. So it's really about talking to the developers. If you have a specific application that you have problems with, come to us and we'll be able to talk with them as well and see if we can speed that development up so it is better suited for the Service Hub. Any other questions? Okay.
I just was curious if there's going to be anything in Fast Track that's going to be coming for the hub. So as new updates or changes or even third-party apps, like they're hitting so quickly, how do we keep up with it? Is there going to be anything like that we can go to that kind of keeps us informed on that kind of stuff?
Good question. I don't know yet, but we have to look it up. Please send us a mail and we'll look it up for you.
Yeah, I had a question. Does it support Microsoft Terminal Service Client? Can you like RDP into a server and
yes.
move around and like
yes.
that?
Yes. So not from the not from a client to the Service Hub RDP. So you
no,
cannot
from,
use it, but the other way around.
Like say we're on the yes. we're on the hub and we want to RDP into one of our servers and bring it up and
install.
Play around with that.
Yes. So you can install the remote desktop client, the app version of it. And obviously, in that version, you'll be able to just connect to your backend, to your servers. And that the same goes for VMware, for instance. The VMware client is there in the store as well, which you can install. So yes, you'll be able to connect to your remote backend as well. So here you see that Christian has looked up the Microsoft Remote Desktop Client. You can get it and install it, and it will be just be able to connect back.
Do you have any plans for an insider program for Service Hub?
So, and then you get a Service Hub for free, you mean?
yes, please.
An insider program in the means that you mean about the updates being delivered earlier. Yep. That's what you're looking for. So that's one of the things that will take as feedback if you want that. We don't have currently but we'll take that as feedback.
Thank you.
Anything else?